I just need, oh, I do have a mic. Thank you. Good morning. When we were worshiping, I tend to get a little hung up for people on the words of the song we sang before this song, sorry. And it says, you're never gonna let me down. That one. Remember that one? And I was singing it, saying, oh, you're never gonna let me down. And immediately I knew the Lord had spoken and said, there are people here today who cannot say those words. Like they're hung up on, no, God, you did let me down. And if that's you, I want to pray for you, because right as that thought came to my mind, no, there are people who are saying, no, you have let me down. I want to tell you, I've been there, but I know that the Lord then spoke and said, tell them I work all things out for the good of those who love me, and I have answered your prayers in the way you would have had you known what I know. So if that's you today, could we just... Lord, speak. The Lord has not let you down. You need to say that. Close your eyes, and if this is something you've battled with, saying, but Lord, you have... Close your eyes and say, Lord, you have not let me down. You have not let me down. Help me to trust you in spite of what I do not see. Father, minister words of life right now into disappointed, broken hearts. Hearts that are questioning have you even seen all that I've gone through? Where were you? The Lord wants to bring reassurance. I'm going to tell you right now, he's not going to stand here and tell you where he was, because he was there. He's not going to give you an answer that's going to just spell it out so you can just walk away and go, oh, okay. No, it's going to be a blessed assurance that's going to come inside of you as you say, Father, I trust you, even with what I cannot see. Seal this word, I pray, Father, in the hearts of those who need it. May they walk out with hope. You are good, so good. You are good, so good. So good. And you never leave us, you never forsake us, and you never let us down. You are kind, you are loving, you are our Heavenly Father. How much more do you love us than our own earthly Father could? Your love never ends. In Jesus' name we pray. Seal the word. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks, guys, for hanging there. I am Teresa Slankard, for those of you who don't know. We're going to have a little fireside chat today. I was informed yesterday that Pastor Phil was pretty sick, and I went, whoa, back up the truck. I don't do things that fast. And I felt like the Lord said, I've got you. So I know that he does. Great is his faithfulness. great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Hallelujah. So I've got a public service announcement for you on the board, on the screen, and then I'll come back.
Bob?
Yeah?
Are you afraid of death?
Yeah.
Me too. And there's no way out of it. You're going to die. I'm going to die. It's going to happen. And what difference does it make if it's tomorrow or in 80 years? Much sooner in your case. Do you know how fast time goes? I was 6 like yesterday.
Me too.
I'm going to die. You are going to die. What else is there to be afraid of?
For those who know me really, really well, that would be my family for the most part. But what about Bob is like one of my very, it's probably my very favorite movie. If you asked my kids, they would say, it's What About Bob. So that movie is so old. Oh, man, I can't tell you how much I don't want to stand up here. This is not what I want. But for video purposes, we shall do this. If you do not have a service program with the notes, would you please go back and get those notes? That's going to be really important. Grab a pen, too. You'll need that pen. Can everybody please have a pen? Just saying. It's going to be kind of important. Dan, that's you. I'm kidding. He's got a mind like a steel trap. So today we're talking about while it is still called today. And I'm going to be honest with you and say, if you've heard me preach before, you know I can be pretty polished in the sense of having lots of notes, and that is not the case today. So we're going to literally chat about some things. For the last probably 30 years of my life, I have known the importance of the power of the pen. And I am not perfect at wielding my pen, but I understand that words can bring life. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. They are also in the power of our pen. And I have spent that long at least trying to write to people my heart or things that I felt like the Lord had to share with them. And because that is my passion, indulge me this morning if it is not yours. And I'm going to ask you to give it a fair shot because I can already hear some of you now going, I don't write. Have you even seen my handwriting? I don't even spell well. I don't want to hear any of that today because none of that's going to matter by the time I get done with you. So, but I have understood, and I don't think it's just because, though I will say, how many of you are familiar with the 5 love languages? Mm-hmm. And how many of you have taken that test? Mm-hmm. And how many of you, like me, and this will not be hardly any of you, so I'm prepared for this, that I won't have very many people like me. How many of you are a words of affirmation number one person? Okay, one of us, 2 of us. That is probably my very number one language that speaks to my heart the most is words of affirmation. You can leave your comments after service. No, I'm kidding. But when I realized that it wasn't everybody's, like I'm so surprised, you know, we all speak different languages. And when I realized that it wasn't everybody's, I thought, well, how weird is that? But this I do know, that even if it's not your number one, I promise everyone loves to hear words of life spoken to them, very much so. So I have spent most of my life, making sure that I wrote what I could not say. And there are people who can just speak eloquently. I am not one of them. If I'm going to, like, thank you for something, and or I'm going to feel unworthy, and I'm going to try to thank you, and it's just easier for me if I just curate what I need to say on a piece of paper with a pen. But not only that, I have learned that that works in everyone's favor if I am that way. Because why? Why would it work for me to write to you instead of just stand here and tell you? I know it's the 9:30 service, but why would it be good for you to have something I wrote? Because you get to keep it forever. You get to read it over and over and over again. And when we take our thoughts, but we combine them with words of the Lord, oh, man, you've got a mighty weapon for the heart. And that is found in what you write and the words of life that you can write. So I'm going to try to equip you this morning for that. But I have to ask you, so if you knew your time was on earth was soon, like if you knew your time on this earth, you were going to leave. It was soon, sorry. I'm wondering, what regrets would you have if you knew, if a physician told you, I am so sorry? And this is not, and I get that this is a sensitive topic, because the truth is some of you are sitting here with not a good diagnosis, or you have a loved one with not a good diagnosis. So I really do, I want to be sensitive, but I can't stress this enough, that God is saying, while it is still called today, while it is still called today, what can we do? And so if you had been told that you did not have much time on earth, what would you do? Mike, we're not going to try to do what I asked you. Is that okay? Did you have it ready? Could we have? Yeah, we can give it a try. This is where you would turn your note paper over on the blank side, and let's just have a chat about that. What would you do? What would suddenly become high priority for you if you knew you didn't have hardly any time left on this earth? Just raise your hand and say it, whatever. We're just going to put them up there, because you're going to say something that somebody else didn't think of, and it'll go up there, and then you can take notes. Anybody? Uh-huh.
They should.
Yeah.
Because at times we hold back from telling people.
Right.
And they pass and you go, I had the chance and I didn't.
Exactly. Danny is exactly right. And that is that we would make sure people knew we loved them and that God loved them, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we do that? How might you do that? You might try to talk to everybody that you can, but what would be maybe better? Writing it. I'm just going to give you the answer. It's writing it. What else might you do if you knew you had, let's say you had a week to live? I know there are people here. I entertain this thought all the time, so I don't get all weird about it, but I know there are people who are going, I don't want to go there in my thoughts. Joe?
If you knew someone that needed encouragement,
Yeah, absolutely. There are people who need to know you believe in them. So words of encouragement, you would share words of encouragement. And I don't mean just like, you're a great person. I mean specific words for them. Wouldn't you? Yeah. Okay. Let's say, anybody else? Because we're going to turn this to Sherry. That is heavy. Ask for forgiveness and forgive. Tell people that you forgive them. That's huge. Sherry, I hadn't even thought of that one. That one just like put a rock in my heart. That one's big. That one's heavy. What else? If you knew you were getting ready to have no more words, what would you do? LaVonna?
Yes, if you have any relationships.
You're going to mend relationships. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Oh, now I got a heavy one for you. Let's say it's not you that is dying, but let's say you are by the bedside of someone who is dying or someone who has just passed. God forbid it would be one of your children. But I'm just wondering if you were standing there with a loss that was so huge, where would your thoughts go? Where would the regrets rest? Never having the chance to properly say goodbye or to say the things you wanted to say. I've talked to you about this before. I think the last time I spoke, that the suicide rate is pretty high. Do you know that this is a sad one? That among teenage girls, it's up 51%. Isn't that something? Okay, so I'm going to ask you, how can we help fix that problem of suicide? What can we do? Listening to people, but also speaking our heart, right? So these are just things to think about when we're talking about the power of the pen and our words. They matter. If you can think of other ones, write them down. One of the things I felt like the Lord reminded me of was, how many of you have seen Field of Dreams? Yeah, if you build it, they will come. Is that the only line any of us will ever remember from Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. And I felt like the Lord said, if you make sure they have paper and a pen, I will speak to them while you're speaking. So please know that if you've got paper and pen, God's not going to speak to Dan because he doesn't have one, paper and pen. Not speaking to Gary either. But if in this time that we're talking, you got to understand the Lord is going to bring people to your mind who need to hear from you. A forgiveness, an apology, a word of encouragement, I believe in you, and I know you're going to make it. Things like that. So let's go through this verse that we're going to put up first, which is Isaiah 54. Now you can turn your paper over and you can look at the scriptures with me. This is one that I highlighted, marked up everything, and I knew that this was a really important one. And it's this: the Lord has given me the tongue of a disciple, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning to hear as a disciple. Now, just to put this in context, this is talking about Jesus himself, our Lord. But just as Jesus had said to us, "You greater things will you do. The things I do, you will do." I know I can own this verse, okay? So this is it. The Lord has given me the tongue. I have prayed this so many times in the morning. Lord, you've given me the tongue of a disciple, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. You awaken me morning by morning to hear. You will put names in my heart of who you want me to speak to. Now, that might be a text. I lost all the texts from my dad, and they were valuable. And honestly, I wish he would have written them instead of texted me. Texts and emails are fine if that's all you've got, but if you've got something where you can mail something or put it in their hand, then I encourage you to do that. The other thing is I'm not talking just about letters that you're going to write, though I'm a letter writer, so it's just kind of par for where my brain's going to go. But what about a prayer journal, where everyone should have one? So let's just talk about a couple of tools. You can buy nice journals like this, and I my goal is to own one for each of my family members. But this, a zippered one, means you can put something like, I don't know, something of value that's not written, you know? So journals, you can even do, I bought these the other day. They were three for like $10. And it's nothing huge, but you could write your thoughts and your prayers for a specific person. Do you know what I'm saying? So I would encourage you to keep some sort of notes on your children and that kind of thing. And then here's another example of just a journal. It wasn't expensive, but it can become a prayer journal and a letter, you know, notes. I will tell you this. When my dad was diagnosed with GBS, we did not expect that he was going to die, but he thought he was going to die, and he ended up being right. But one day I was sitting in his hospital room, and he said, I really feel like I'm going to die. And, of course, I was trying to, you know, speak positively, and I'll, no, Dad, you're not going to die, you're not going to die. And he looked at me and said, Trace, that's what he always called me, I am going to die. And I just in a moment of exasperation said, if you really believe that, why do you not spend your time writing to your children and your grandchildren? Why are you not? He was an excellent writer, but I was like, you're sitting here for hours just thinking you're going to die. Why do you not put it to good use? Just pull up your computer, for crying out loud, and just start typing. We'll worry about writing it out later. So about 2 weeks after he passed, I had a dream. By the way, he never wrote anything. 2 weeks after he passed, I was sleeping, and I had a dream that my mom and I were going through all of his things, and we're searching for some, I don't know what, and all of a sudden, well, it must have been what I was searching for, because I pull up a manila folder, and right when I pull it up, I know it's from my dad. And I go tearing through the house. I'm just tearing through the house. And I'm like, Mom, I found it. And I opened it. And right when I opened it, I could see that there were letters and everything. And I woke up. And right when I woke up, the most terrible sadness came over me. He didn't leave his words behind. He didn't leave his hopes for his children. He didn't leave things behind. I rushed to the bathroom and bawled like a baby. Just a guttural bawling at another loss. Not only had I lost my dad, I had lost the opportunity to hear from him. I pray that we don't do that with our children. With our descendants. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 through 14. You know what? This honestly wasn't supposed to be heavy. Let's try to pick this up. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. We urge you, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety... Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Let's read that one. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Proverbs 25, I love this. I picture this even. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Is that beautiful? That's beautiful. Words fitly spoken. We said this one already, Proverbs 18:25, death and life are in the power of the tongue. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in need, who are in any affliction, with the comfort that we ourselves have been comforted by. On that one, I threw that one in there because I know that you yourself can feel very down today. You yourself could really use some words of life spoken. And the example I would give of that is, I have heard people say to me before, I don't have any friends. And I always want to just like, I'm always very gentle. But what I want to say is, if you don't have any friends, why would that be? Maybe you need to be a friend, right? Maybe you really need to be a friend. If you are dealing with depression, and so many of us are, then the way to combat that depression is to get out of yourself. And that won't take care of it fully. Some people legitimately need medication. But the enemy is so good at closing us off, closing us off, closing us off. And we just get more and more down. When the truth is, if we just get out of ourselves, look around and start seeing other people and saying, Lord, I want to pray for people. And if you have, if you end up telling me to text them or email them or give them a call and tell them what I think or write to them, I'm going to do it. And if you commit to that, the Lord will bring people to your mind. He will. So the first thing you would do in that case is, if somebody was brought to your mind, you would pray for them. The Lord brought the name to your mind for a reason. Pray for them. And then after you pray for them, and as you're praying for them, say, Lord, what can I write to them today? Does anybody like to get mail that's not a bill? I do. And sometimes I go, I don't get hardly any mail. Maybe I should write. Maybe I should, you know, be a friend, have a friend, get friends, write. People will write you, you know, whatever, and that's not why I write. Okay, so don't you wish I had had notes? This wouldn't have been so random. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And God's words are life. They are food. Our words can be that too. They can be nourishing food for the soul. I would encourage you, by the way, don't just write your own words. Attaboy. Go get them. You're the best. You're the jiggity bomb. No, make the words count, okay? And so this is just a simple little trick. I always, if I'm gonna tell you something I feel like you need to do, I'm going to try to equip you. I've had this book for, I don't know, oh my gosh. Well, my oldest kids were teenagers, so I've had it for a really long time. And it's called Every Day I Pray. You won't find it, so you're going to look for something different. But when my son was suicidal, I would open up to the part on suicide, and I would begin to pray life over him, pray words of life, not just my words. I would pray the word over my son. So you can look for books that are scriptures. There's one, Power of a Praying Parent. There's Power of Praying. There's a lot of those, you know. But they also are very helpful when you need a word. You know you want to seal your concerns or your encouragement, you want to seal it with a verse from the Lord. And so if you're dealing with somebody who is afraid, maybe you don't have to be an expert on knowing scripture. You can look up verses online, look up verses on scripture, and you can say, Sally, I know you struggle with fear, but I just want to tell you, God is our refuge and our strength. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That's what you would do, okay? So make sure, I would encourage you, I never want a piece of mail to go out of my house without some really weighty message to them. Not weighty as in sad, but I want it to be something where they'll read it over and over and over again, okay? Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." And that's referring to all kinds of sin, and one of them would be the temptation to kill yourself, to end things, to walk away from God, to all those things. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness, okay? And we already did that one, didn't we? Sorry. Letters are important. Our words are important. Even Paul thought so. So in case you thought to yourself, you know, whenever the time is right, you might inspire me here. Whenever all of the conditions are right, and I've gone and I have, you know, bought great paper and all of that, that would be me. I would tend to be like that, so don't do that. And when all the conditions are right, when I really have time and I can focus, then I'm going to write people. Can I just say that Paul wrote some of his best letters while he was in where? Prison. He was in prison. It was cold. He didn't have great paper. He didn't have whatever. You can't let those be your excuses, because don't let them be your excuses, because one day you could stand at a funeral or at a bedside and say, or you could hear a diagnosis and say, why didn't I encourage people while it was today? Why didn't I forgive while it was today? You know, I am so passionate about this subject. Another thing, you're not going to see this in your notes because there really aren't any notes, but that is, you will see this part. It says this. It says, so God prompts us to pray for others and to heed his prompts to encourage others in him. You can read this with me, okay? You're the only Jesus some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need, because you're the only Jesus some will ever see. What does that mean? What this means is, if you have a wayward child, or let's not even go down that road. Let's say you have children. Especially if you have children who don't believe. But you will be the only Jesus they will read. They're not going to pick up their Bible and start reading, right? But a side note on that, I encourage you to be a trailblazer through your own Bible. My Bible is marked up all over. How many of you struggle to mark in a Bible? Do you? Can we just pray for you? Because the truth is this. Just no different than if you are forging the path ahead of those behind you and you're in a forest. What are you going to do? You're going to mark spots. You're going to take that axe, and I've never done it. I'm not a Boy Scout, but you know what I mean. You're going to mark the spots where you've been so that those that are coming behind you will know where to go, right? Dan and I went to the Lexington Trail Park, and we decided to take the one where you go back in the back, and we got lost. And what should have taken us 20 minutes took us, I don't know. We ended up walking 5 miles in the woods. 5 miles. The man with the memory. But what had happened, he knew where he was going, and I was just about dying. I was starting to panic because I have anxiety, and I didn't have water. And I was just like, you would have thought, I was so pathetic, I need water. And I'm thinking, I can hear cars, for crying out loud. How lost can we be? But we were so lost. Ask me, how lost were you? So lost. And it was because they plum bloody marked the shouldn't have said that, but they marked the trail wrong. That's what we're gonna say. Has anybody been on it? Joe's like, they didn't mark the trail wrong. You just simply didn't look. So anyway, it was just one of those things where I realized the importance of markers. Your Bible can hold those markers. That's really important. Someday, they're going to fight over the family Bible. Yeah, they're going to fight over Mom's Bible. Hopefully, they'll fight over Dad's Bible, too. Can I just encourage dads? That's a big deal. In my Bible, I've got verses where I've got a date on them that says, prayed this for Chris. Oh, sorry, Chris. Prayed this for so-and-so. Prayed this for so-and-so. Because I know one day they're going to go back and they're going to look and they're going to try to find everywhere I had been. And they'll find value in where I've been because they'll see the notes out to the side, things the Lord told me. That's important. That's the power of your pen, right? Power of your pen. So there's a few different ways. So what you leave in your prayer journal, pray specifically for people. One day your children may come back and go, Dad, I know you're not here anymore to know this, but he answered your prayer. Thank you for praying that. Don't you think that means so much? Yeah, so there's your prayer journal. There's your letters that you'd write. There's the notes that you would keep in your Bible. Those are all important. So anyway, so I am passionate about this message, and I'm going to close really quickly. Because the donuts have arrived, and I know how you feel. But I forgot to read this, and this is a tiny little piece that this piece of paper is over 30 years old. But I wrote this, and I found it in my Bible. I keep it right in Isaiah 50, verse 4, that area. But it says this: more and more, I see the need for people to operate in the gifts of encouragement and knowledge. People are weary. At times desperate and hopeless. Some have questions or need guidance or confirmation, and they long for God to show himself in a personal way, which brings hope that they are not alone and they are not on their own. My heart's cry is that God will awaken me morning by morning with an ear to hear as a disciple, that he will use me to speak a word in season to him who is weary. I want to be God's mail carrier, making deliveries of encouragement, confirmation, boosts that were miraculous, that were clearly from God. May I rise early every morning to hear, and may I pray without ceasing throughout every day that the Holy Spirit would continue to drop names in my heart of who to pray for, and to share a word in season with. May I be obedient to walk in faith and deliver without delay. Without delay. Kimberly is in the room, and I'm just going to use you as an example. Kimberly, a few years ago, I wrote a story about a kite. And for those of you who follow me on Instagram or Facebook, you've seen the post, so bear with me. Just indulge me for a little bit to share this story. So I knew the message of leaving a legacy of our words and leaving our paper trail was important. So I set out to do that, and it wasn't too long after I started workshops that I got terribly ill. And just got more and more crippled, and we didn't know what was wrong, and they were running a bunch of tests, and it was like the Bob moment. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. What is there to think about? And I was honestly just out of my mind in so much pain and everything, and I knew, well, that was short-lived. Started those workshops, and now I can't do anything. And the Lord miraculously brought an answer to us through Dan's knock, 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 knock on every door anybody would listen to him. I think she's allergic to the metal. I'm pretty sure she's allergic to the metal that was put in her body. By the time it had been 3 years, guess what? They found out I was allergic to the metal. And so they took the metal out, they put new metal in, and I just started getting better and better and better. So 2 years ago, God is good. God is so good. And through that, even I could say, Lord, why on earth did you let me just decline for 3 years? I can tell you he was there every step of the way, and the growth it brought, I wouldn't trade. I really wouldn't. So 2 years ago in January, I was sitting with the Lord, and I was journaling, and I said, Lord, I still believe in the power of our words. I believe in the power of the pen. I ask you to bring back the passion to share it. It is important. It is a message worth sharing. I said, Father, what we write to others and what we have received that we read over and over again. Forgot to tell you the story about Kimberly. I'll get to that in a second. Those words matter. And they are like, and I'm writing, and I say, they are like the tether to a kite. While the kite goes up so high in its way up there, if we have something to hold on to of our loved ones, then we're still connected. Like, we still have that connection. That's important, guys. My dad did write me a few cards when I was younger and all that. I keep those and I read those. One of them says, daughter, you are blessed among women. Blah, blah, blah. That means something. And his chicken scratch, yeah, the worst handwriting, so don't even go there. But those words matter. And I will never part with that card. Never. And the things that he wrote me. So anyway, I knew. I mean, Dad touched it. Dad wrote it. That's the tether. He's up there. But that's something I've got of my dad. So I said, Lord, I never want to lose the passion for that. Please help me. And it's like a tether. And right when I said, it's like a tether, I just stopped. And I was like, Lord, that would make an excellent children's book. Yeah. And so I started writing, pulled up a new piece of paper and started writing. The kite lay in wait for her final flight. Her passage would be a magnificent sight. I'm going to tell you something. I had never written poetry. So, and some of you, you go, yeah, well, that's clearly obvious. So I wrote the story, and I, in a day, wrote the story in a day. I thought it was so good. Send it to my daughter, and she was like, well, being very gracious, have you ever read poetry? How about you read some poems and then go back and visit your story? So I did. I would, like, piano drills. Anybody play the piano? You got the piano drills and you don't want to do them, you don't want to, but they warm you up, and that's what I would do. And the story ended up coming to life, and but she said to me, she said, Mom, don't be surprised if it takes 2 years before it becomes a book. I was like, what? It's going to be out in March. That was 2 years ago. About March, on when it's time to fly kites. It was crazy. Anyway, 2 years later, the book came to be. And part of why it came to be was, and this is the part that feels really weird, because I don't promote myself and I don't do those things unless you do not hear my heart. I don't even show you this book because I want you to buy it or anything. It's nothing like that. But it's where my passion is. So I wanted to show you the book trailer that I made, and then I'm going to come back. But I will say this. So Kimberly wrote me a card, and she said, I believe, she said a lot of things, but she basically told me that she believed in the project. She knew the Lord had given me the words. She knew the Lord would bless. So many things. And she said, you are so many things. You're a perfectionist. You're all those things. But the devil will chatter. And he will tell you, you're not good enough. It's not good enough. All that. That's exactly what the devil does with me. So you can only imagine how important words of affirmation, that God is with me, that God has anointed me. Those things are important, are they not? Who do you know that needs to hear words? Your words that bring life and hope. I know for a fact, 2 years went by, I got really busy, about a year and a half went by, I was cleaning out my office and I came across the card. I plunked myself down, read the card again, bawled like a baby, got myself up, wiped the snot, and I was like, God's with me. I've got this. And then it came to be. But I wanted to let you see the book, not for you to buy it, but for you to hear the message. Okay? Let's show it. The Kite's Final Flight, written by Teresa Slankard, read by Teresa Slankard, illustrated by Guy Wallach, composed by Jonathan Beard. The kite lay in wait for her final flight. Her passage would be a magnificent sight. A kite string was needed, and tails needed too, for her to lift high on the winds as they blew. In clouds, over trees, she had flown times before, but this flight would be her crowning encore. In crosswinds, she'd learned to soar high like the birds. Still, this gust would pull her further upwards. Her time here was spent securing her tether, in hopes that others would always remember. Bows added to tails with her messages tied, ensuring her sail would be a smooth ride. Notes sealed with a kiss for hearts who would need, her stories of faith for those who would read. Of all of the things that she held as dear, with words of great hope for children to hear. One message she wrote was of love that she had, for him who makes glad all the hearts who are sad. Another one told where her peace could be found, in notable words by the author renowned. For only with those who would hold her as dear were ones who'd be privileged to see and to hear her deepest affection for her treasured ones in messages written to daughters and sons. A note for the girl with a dream and a dare. Don't give up. Keep going. You'll find your way there. For the boy with the bat and the ball and the glove. You are loved. You are special. A gift from above. For she had ensured that her words would be heard in notes that were penned for the hearts to be stirred. She knew that her time here on earth soon would end, while children watched waiting for that final wind. When time for the kite to begin her ascent, there rose up a cry of the saddest lament, clinging, not wanting the kite yet to leave, for fear of her lost from those who would grieve. Her words of assurance for all who were sad, it's my time to fly. It's a flight I must have. Her tails were secured and the long string in place. Pup leaped to his feet to embark on the chase. Strong winds pulled her up, way up high past the trees, while children ran chasing, hair blown in the breeze. When all of a sudden, tails tied to the kite broke free, floating downward in shimmering sunlight. Children dashed gathering as bows were descending. Gladdened, she smiled, making way her transcending. Tails whipped and they flapped in the winds that were swirling. Kids bounded and leaped while her ribbons were twirling. With laughter and giggles of joyful delight, with squealing, they chased after streamers in sight. Gently and lightly like feathers they flew, tidings whirled freely from tails as they blew. But a sudden strong gust pulled tight on her string. With a snap and a whoosh, she flew spiraling, onward and upward, up higher and higher, a sight to behold, this aerial flyer. We can't lose you, they cried. "Oh, what will we do?" Hearts sank as they begged. "Can't we go there with you?" "Your time isn't yet," she assured them. "But soon. One day you'll fly high past the clouds, past the moon. For now you will catch me in notes that you read. Sweet memories and laughter will come when you need. My time here is done. A new place I will roam, in a house built for those whom he has called home." She waited no longer for her final flight. Her passage, a truly magnificent sight. No kite string was needed, her tails all astrew, lifting her high on the winds as they blew. Above clouds, over trees, up higher than before, this flight was a wonderful final encore. In crosswinds, she soared, surpassing the birds. This ultimate gust pulled her further upwards. With all of her letters found new in their place, she knew that her messages all could be traced to the heart of the soul soaring high up above, still speaking the truth, still sharing her love. The end. I hope you enjoyed that, but more than that, I hope you see the message behind that. I hope it's a clear message. The Lord wants to use you to encourage others. The Lord wants to have you leave a legacy in your Bible, in your words, in the things that you share with others. You are the only Jesus some of them will ever read. So let your words be directed by him. Let them be filled with him. And may we be one who is awoken in the morning to hear a word in season, to bring a word in season to him who is weary. Amen. Can you stand? And let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that your word is powerful. I pray that you would seal your words in people's hearts today. May we go out knowing we are your mouthpiece. You want to use us. Use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.